Welcome to Live Daf, your online Daf Yomi Shir.
Shalom Aleichem and welcome back to today's Daf, Bava Kama Daf. Hey, we begin right on top with the words Edim Zamimin. So, yesterday we had Rabbi Oishia's Braisa, which gave us a listing of 13 Aves Nezikin. Above and beyond the number 4 in the Mishnah Daf Beis, he included those 4 plus another 9. Then we have Rabbi Chia, who upped it to 24 Aves Nezikin, primary categories of damages. Now the question was, why did Rabbi Oishia stick with 13? Why didn't he include those items in Rabbi Chia's list? And the Gemara told us one of the reasons is because Rabbi Oishia is just discussing mamoin payments, actual payments for actual damages, as opposed to knas, penalties and fines. So then the question is, Edim Zemimin, says the Gemara, d'mamoinu, that's an example of a mamoin payment. So Edim concocted a story about, you know, a person owing money due to such and such, you know, event that they have witnessed, allegedly witnessed, and it turns out they were falsifying, they weren't even there, they were elsewhere. They must go and pay out that which they intended on obligating this fellow. Edim Zemimin, the planners, the plotters. That's not a knas, says Rashi. And the reason is because knas can be defined in one of two ways, says Rashi. Either it's a set, established amount, like the 50 that an oinus pays, mafata pays, or, says Rashi, when you pay more than the damage. Edim Zemimin fits none of the above, and therefore it's classified as mamoin. Says the Gemara, Edim Zemimin, that payment, the mamoinahu, listen. Why isn't that on Rabbi Yoshia's list? Answer is, it is knas, it's not mamoin. Why? Savalak Rabbi Kiva. He holds like Rabbi Kiva's shita, that these Edim Zemimin's payment is really knas. In fact, Damar, he says, Ein Misham Min Al Pi Atzman, they cannot admit this type of guilt in line with any knas. It must be opposed by Bezdin. It can't be triggered due to their admission, so apparently it has a din of knas, and it doesn't belong on his list. Well, Yisabel Rabbi Kiva. So if he's following Rabbi Kiva's shita, that runs us into another concern. Listen, Trey Gavni Shur. So he should now have two separate listings of a shur on Aksu damages. Because according to Rabbi Kiva, you end up with two types. One is, listen, Shur Dazik Shur, a shur who struck another shur. That's one type, one category. But listen, Shur Dazik Adam, in contrast to a shur who injured a person. Totally different. Different system. This not, as we learned, Rabbi Kiva Imar, Aftam. Even if a shur, you know, it was his first, second time around, it wasn't second nature, he wasn't yet habitualized as a gorer. Shechava Badam, if he did it against a person, Mishal B'moysen Ezek Sholem, so the person damaged the shur, $50, and the shur damaged $100, that discrepancy, that extra 50, Nezek Sholem. He has to pay 100% of that. No discounts, despite the fact that he's just a tam, because the tam discount, the 50% discount, only applies when the shur was mazik another shur, but not when he was mazik a person. So Rabbi Ishiya now has two reasons to list shur, if he's going with Rabbi Kiva. Shur that was mazik property, shur that was mazik a person, totally different, guidelines. Well, says the Gemara, it's not really absolute hatavri. Rabbi Kiva l'gzidze. Rabbi Kiva broke his power. Gzize literally means his fist. He sort of canceled this chiddush. The Sanya, the Braisa says like this. Rabbi Kiva imer, yochel aftam shechaval ba'adam, yishalem min aliyah. True. A shor tam who harmed a person, 100% responsible. But what about the other question? Does he have to pay min ha'aliyah from the owner's assets, or is it capped by the amount that the shur is worth, which is typically the system when a shur damages another shur? It's capped. The payment is capped by the value of the actual perpetrator, the shur. So if shur is worth 50, you can't go past that. But aliyah means he has to write out a check. So what if a tam was chayvil a person? Does he have to pay min aliyah? Even if it exceeds the value of the actual shur that damaged, tamaloi mar yosaloi. Yosaloi is going on the shur. Migufa mishalim. is only responsible in as much as the shur has that value within him. Ve'edim mishalman aliyah doesn't have to pay his own assets, meaning what exceeds the value of the shur. And this is even when a shur strikes a person. So at times he won't pay the full amount if the shur is only worth part of the damage. So basically, it's not an all situation. It's not an all-encompassing chiyuv. And therefore, Be'ishia did not, care to mention it as a separate chiyuv. The question was, there are two types of shur damages, two types of liabilities. When he's mazak a shur that works with one system, a tam gets a 50% discount. When he's mazak an adam, it's always 100%. Well, not always. If the shur is only worth 50, that's always going to pay. So therefore, he left that out of the list. Asks the Gemara, well, one second, what about ha'inus? Person had a forced experience with an isha, he has to pay 50. Selah. Plus, he has to pay damages, embarrassment, loss of value, v'amafata, or he convinced her, v'amati shemra. He falsified a story about his wife. All these payments, the mamainu, they're actual mamain payments for actual, harm. Listening. Why aren't these on Rabbeisha's list? Well, says the Gemara, it really is, manavshach. Look, either way it's listed. It doesn't need its own listing because, all these elements of payment, if you break them down, they're really included in other items mentioned in Rabbeisha's list. Inezek. Let's go down the list. Actual damages to the woman. Tunneli. The Mishnah, the Bryce already mentioned. If a person harms another person, he has to pay nezek. Itzar. Pain. Tunneli. It's also mentioned. Iboishas, embarrassment. Tunneli. It's mentioned. Ipgam. Loss of value. Well, that's also mentioned. Hainu nezek. Because loss of value is nezek, right? The actual damage, monetary damage. So there's no reason to go through all these. Once the Bryce already mentions nezek and tsar and sheves and boishes. Ma'is lachomemer. So what are you asking? That the oynes and mefata and mitzvah shemer have a knas aspect to them as well, a set amount established by the Torah, the 50, the 100, right? Knas, the knas loikemari. We've already said that Rashi does not include knasais in his list. Next question. We have other items included in Rabbi Chiya's list, not found in Rabbi Yeshia's list. Hamatame. He was Matame, his friend's Terumah, Hamadameh. He mixed Terumah to his friend's Chulin. Hamanasa, he took his wine and poured it over the Zara. Do I know? These are actual damages for which you have to pay. That's Mame. Listen, include these. Well, Manavshach. Either way, Ihazak, Shein, and Nikr, Shmei Hezek. If these unseen, not tangible damages. You don't notice. You don't discern the fact that it's tame or the fact that it's meduma or iser. Yai nesach hezek shein nikur. If it's considered actual damages in the Torah, heshmei hezek hatan ali nezek. We already discussed nezek in the Braisa. He hezek shein nikur lo heshmei hezek. If unseen damages are not considered mazik in the Torah, it's only midrabbanan you have to pay. Well, havali knasa. Once again, it's just a knas. It's a penalty. It's a fine. It's a punishment. The knasa lekamari. He doesn't discuss these. But Rabbi Chiya did include these. Why? Lei mokas of Rabbi Chiya. Perhaps Rabbi Chiya holds hezek shein nikur lo yishmei hezek. Undiscernible damages is not called hezek minat Torah. It's only midrabbanan a knas. It must be so. Why? The yishmei hezek. Because if it was hezek, then it's just another brand of mazik. Hatana lenezek, which was already mentioned of Chiyas Braisa. Why the repetition? Well, that's not a question. Tana hezek de minkara, but Tana hezek de minkara. Perhaps it's called hezek minat Torah, but it's still a different type. You have the visible damage, and you have the invisible damage. And therefore, they both earn a slot on Rav Chiyas list. So, our Mishnah Daf Beis has four. Rabbi Isha 13, Rabbi Chiyah 24. Bishlem Tana Didan, I understand why our Tana, Daf Beis, Tana Minyana, gave us that number 4 I mean, we could count. Why do you say four? Usually that's coming to exclude something. All of these four. To exclude Limutid Rabbeisha, to indicate that there are others unmentioned. Rabbeisha's list. Rabbeisha Tanam Inyana. Rabbeisha mentioned the number 13 to exclude, to indicate that there are others not included. Limutid Rabbi Chiya, which alludes to Rabbi Chiya's list. Not mentioned, not included in Rabbeisha's list. But Rabbi Chiya also mentions a number. Why go through a number? If you're giving me the entire list, what is he coming to exclude? Lemute Moisir Mafagel, person was Malshin. He snitched on the, you know, he was an informer to the government, to the Ovid Kechavim, thereby causing his friend's property to be handed over to the authorities. Umafagel, or a Kayan who was engaged in bringing a carbon, and he did it the wrong way, he had a machshava that made it possible. So these are other, you know, cases of mazik which were not mentioned. Why not? For listening, so include them as well. Bishlam and mafagel, I understand why mafagel wasn't included. That's something unique, unusual, but kashim like kamay, we're not discussing karbonis. Elam moisir, my time leitani, what about the informer? Shani moisir the dibura, well, that's only by way of words. We're not discussing damages by way of just, you know, expression and speech. But with dibura kamayri, what do you mean? Maitishamra is dibur. The diburu, the ketanei, it's included. Well, it's not just dibur. Dibur the isbe masu. Over there, a maser. It came along with an act because it only works when his fellow interacted with his wife as married. So it's together, dibur in conjunction with masa, and it fits into the, it belongs in the brace. What do you mean? What happened there? They testified, they spoke. It's an expression of words. Diburu. The last be masu, merely words. There's no, it's not accompanied by any activity, any act, any masu. Ketani, why is it on the list? Awesome, says the Gemara. Well, guess what? Over there, Afagav the last be masu, even though they didn't do a physical masu to harm the person. Rachmona kariyem masu, the fact that they went ahead and implicated this fellow, made him guilty. The Torah calls that a masu. The Chassid Vasisim Likasher Zomam Lases Lachem, do to him like he plotted to do. So we call it doing. To his brother. Bishlam l'tan d'dan. Now, I understand why our Tana d'Aves, Tana Aves, mentioned the word Aves, because Aves indicates Mechlal d'ikot t'lod is the derivatives. As we mentioned back in d'Aves, d'Av Gimel, d'Av Ta, Karen has derivatives, regal, right? Secondary activities which resemble the primary ones. Elo d'Rab Chiv Rab Eishia, but according to Rab Chiv Rab Eishia, Aves Mechlal d'ikot t'lod is. I mean, you know, Edim Zayimim has a Talda, all these things, they just stand alone. They don't have Teladis. Mind you, what are the Teladis? Why are they even called Avais? Omra Yavo, Kulan Ka Avais L'Shalmi Meitav. The reason why we put them under the banner of Avais to tell you that you pay the best. If you pay a piece of property, you have to pay from your best. My time of why? Asya, because we learned about Yevek Zerah Shava. And all these activities. All these 24, we have either the word tachas or nesina or yishalim or kesef, which allows us to connect to the halacha of meitav. Which is discussed by, Rashi says, by Shane Veregel. It says, meitav sadeh, you have to pay your best. So all these words allow us to connect it to the halacha of Shane Veregel, where it says these l'shaynais. So that's the point of mentioning avos with regard to all these payments, because you have to pay meitav. Okay, so in conclusion, we have our Mishnah, arba avos nezikin, Rabbi Yoshia 13, Rabbi Chiya 24. It doesn't seem to be much of, you know, an issue. You know, primarily it's not an issue of machlokes. It's more of a point of, you know, are we limiting it to, you know, just a select few, or are we going broader or even broader? Now the Mishnah continues. We have the four Aves Nisikin, Shoyer, Boyer, Mave, and Hever. Lo Yarei Shoyer Kamer Yar Mave. What does that mean? Maiko Amar. What does that mean? Amar Rav Zvid Mishpei Derav. Achik Amar. Means like this. Question: why does the Torah have to mention all four, Shoyer and Boyer? Learn one from the other. Lo Rechman Achada. Mention only one with Teisi. Idach Minei. Learn the other ones from that one. Ha, the Amar, the Mishnah responds and answers. Chada Mechada Le Asya. If it would say, let's say, you know, Karen, we can't learn Shane. If it would say Shane, we can't learn Karen, as we explained back in Daf Beis, Daf Gimel. Each one has its own, you know, uniqueness, in which the guilt can be attributed to that severity, and therefore it doesn't allow for learning others from that. It can't be like provide a source for others, and therefore each one has to be stipulated separately. The Mishnah continues. What does the Mishnah mean with this line? Let the Torah only write two. Okay, I understand. I can't learn one from the other. But just stick to two. Let's say Shoyer and Mavet. Okay, so let's say we say Shoyer is Karen. Well, Karen, huh? He's a deliberate aggressor. Kamanas Lahasik. Well, Mavet. Mavet is Shane. Shane is not so. She's enjoying himself. Well, maybe if it would say Shane, I would say I would attribute the chiv to the fact that Shane has ana, he's, you know, profiting off the other person's, you know, loss. Well, Karen doesn't have that, and he's still chayv. So basically, take these two and use them as a common source, which cannot be extended and applied to others. And learn the other one from those. Hada Amar. The Mishnah responds to that as well. Chada matata li also, you can't learn from these because, you know, let's say Karen and Mava, Yesh bam ruach chaim, they're living creatures. They're more responsible. You're more responsible for them as opposed to Eish, who doesn't have that element. So basically, that explains why the Torah has to stipulate all four and tell you that they're all chayv. Amar Rava. Actually, v'kulu kishadas bar binayu. There is a way out. Suppose you combine any one of these together with bar. So the Torah only writes, you know, Karen with bar. Asu kulu b'matzad. Now, you can create a common denominator which allows for everything else. Levar mi Karen, except for one, Karen. Mishun digla mifrach, because on Karen there's a problem. You can draw that distinction between Karen and the other ones. Malakulu shekin mu'ad mitchilasan. You see, in contrast to Karen, where it's a system, it's a process. First couple of times, you only pay 50%. Then it becomes habitualized, it becomes a mu'ad, then you go up to 100%. That halacha, that, you know, liability in stages, so to speak, is unique to Karen. Shane doesn't have it. Regal doesn't have it. Bar not. Aish not. Adam not. Those, 100% liability right from the get-go. So you can never learn Karen from the other ones. Right? So, therefore, says Rava, in reality, the Torah did not have to write all four. We don't have to spell them all out, because really, if you combine them the right way, you can learn the other ones. And Rashi explains, for instance, let's just pick one. There's a whole long Rashi. It goes through all the variations. Just stick to one example. For instance, you have, let's say we say Boyer and Karen. Let's start with that. We can learn Shane from them. Right? Because you say it like this. You're chayiv for digging a pit. A pit doesn't move, doesn't go anywhere. It's not an active aggressor. Ain't dark at Leilach Lahazak, you're still chayiv. Certainly Shane, where an animal goes and eats, that's a moving mazik. Shadak Leilach Lahazak, certainly. You've got to be careful and watch that thing, and you're responsible. Well, how could you compare Shane to Bar? Bar is unique because Rashi says it's called Chilas Asiyas Lenezek. It initially was established as a potential mazik, as opposed to Shane. It's just a natural, you know, function of the animal. It's not a tchilas asiyasal, and as it wasn't, you know, intended as a mazik. Well, hold it, Karen Yechiach. We can go to Karen and say, well, the fact that Karen is chayiv, despite the fact that it's not tchilas asiyas lenezek, He's not known to gore, right? He's innocent until proven guilty. He's still chayev. So Shane as well. Well, Karen has an advantage over Shane. Kavanose lahazik. It's an act of aggression. Shane isn't. Well, Burr disproves that argument because Burr is not kavanose lahazik. And basically, you're going back and forth because, you know, the element found in one is not found in the other, so you can't attribute liability to that element. So you're going to have to, you're going to be compelled to come up with a tzad hashava, you know, common denominator. You'll say, what's common to both Karen and Burr? Darken lahazik, mamoinach, shmorose alecha, right? Same thing with Shane. So basically, you can go through the whole list like that. Combine things, provided you have Burr in there, because Burr is unique in the fact that it's not a traveling mazik, it's not a mobile mazik, it's not an active mazik, and still your chayiv. Combine that with any other one, you can now include, you can learn from there, it can provide a source for the other mazikin. Except, says Rav, except for Karen, because as we said, Karen has a disadvantage compared to everybody else, because he's a tam to start. So you can't learn him from everybody else. But otherwise you could. The other mazikin can be learned from each other. And continues the Gemara. Ulamanda Omar Adu Rav Karen Adifa Shekavanos Lahazik. Actually, there's another twist to this, because back on the Avdalet, Rashi says, we don't know where this Tana is, but the Hagoyis Agro says, Hubadav HaKoydev, back on the Avdalet. Beginning of the Dalet and Aleph. So the Gemara over there had a Svara to say that, Karen has a disadvantage because Kavanas Lahazik, it's more difficult to guard him. But then the Gemara says, just the opposite. Karen is a more potent Mazik because Kavanas Lahazik, it's an act of aggression. So in terms of the actual, you know, behavioral aspect of the animal, it's a more severe expression of mazik. It's kavanos lahazik. So that's a chumra. That's a reason for chiyuv. And therefore, I feel Karen Nami asked you. So if that's the case, we look at Karen as, you know, a real strong mazik, then that allows us to learn Karen from everybody else. Because Karen has that advantage. Kavanos lahazik certainly is chayv. That takes us to our question. So if that's the case, all you need to do is combine, put together the pieces of the puzzle correctly, then you can provide sources for all the mazikim. So why does the Torah have to spell out each one, each and every mazik? There must be a reason for it. The answer is to express its specifics. Every one of these mazikim has something unique. For instance, Karen. There we have that distinction between Tam and Mu'ed. L'chalak bein Tam l'Mu'edis. He's 50% liable, he's 100%. Why mention Shein v'Regel? L'poitur m'shesuram, to teach us that there's no chiyuv for Shein v'Regel if it happened in the street. The only chiyuv if it happened in the person's private property. You know, the victim's property. Why mention Boyer? L'tavaris hakeim, to teach you that if a kli was harmed by way of a Boyer, you potter. And that's something unique to Bar. That's why it's important to go through each one of these categories, because each one has unique elements, exclusive to itself, not found by the others. Well, Rabbi Yehuda Machayev Alim Skekel Mabar, Rida says, Yuchayev even for a Nezek of Kli in a Bar. So why mention Bar? Lift the Bar is Adam, because the fact is if Adam falls into a Bar, you're part. Why does the Torah have to mention that an Adam that was mazik, a person, is chayiv, l'chayiv ba'avar dvar, because aside from the actual, you know, damages, you have to pay those four, you know, add-ons, the tsar, ripoy, sheves, boishes, that's very important. Why mention that you're chayiv if your esh burns, esh, liftabers atumen, there's something unique by esh, if it burnt out, you know, down someone's house, and there's something, you know, hidden there called tumen. You know, the classic case is that it burnt down a granary in which was were hidden some kalim, tamun, you potter. And that's not from a pasuk. So that's unique about ish. According to Abiyud Yechayev, even for hidden damages, so then, lasu yamai, what's the point of mentioning? Which halacha was introduced with the parasha of ish? Lasu yay to include that you're even chayiv when your ish, you know, did something unusual, something very not typical. Asuya lichacha niroi. Niroi is a, you know, your friend's field, which was ready for planting, a plowed field, an empty field. V'sichzacha avonav. would chart his stones. So basically, if it, you know, created some, you know, damage on these, on this person's property in a very unusual way, it's not typical for a fire to burn actual earth or to char stones. So the point is, you're chayiv even there as well, which is something that's unique to a, meaning you would not be able to learn this from the other mazikim. It's not something which is roy, which is typical, and therefore we need the parsha of Eish to introduce this aspect of chayiv as well. Okay, so bottom line is, we had the listings of the mazikim, 4, 13, 24, and the Mishnah explained why the Torah has to spell out each one of these four mazikim, and Rava expounded on it and said, look, technically you can get away with less, but as the Gemara explained, there's a reason to expound and to introduce all these halachis that are unique to these avos, and that's where the Torah goes through the list and expresses them separately. Okay, all the best to you, and Hatzlacha Rabbah.